Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. What an awesome privilege and a humbling honor to be able to speak to you this morning. We're grateful for your presence. We're very glad that you're here. Glad that you've chosen to come and worship and study with us this morning. And we'd like to ask for everyone to go ahead and get out your Bible. None of the scriptures that we're going to read this morning are going to be on the overhead, so get to work. It'll be good practice, I promise. You know, a lot of people think that believing, understanding the scripture is like rocket science. And understandably so. Because it does take something special to understand God's word. Not everyone could understand it. We understand and we read in the gospel accounts that there were many people who didn't understand the scriptures. They didn't understand what Jesus taught them. As simple as we look back and think that it is, they didn't understand. And that may be because I believe that God's will is four-dimensional. And some of you are thinking, that's impossible. Everything that we know in this world is three-dimensional, and that's true. That's why you can't understand the scriptures and God's will thinking in worldly terms. We read from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In worldly terms, we think in three dimensions. I remember several years ago we went to Disney, and they gave us a pair of funny glasses that we put on, and we watched this thing called Bug's Life. And it seemed like all the animals were right there in front of us, but still, it was three-dimensional. Our problem in comprehending God's will is in that other dimension. And the other dimension, the special thing that it takes for us to understand is God. We think that we can do many things on our own and of our own accord, of our own strength. And that's just not the case when it comes to spiritual matters. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that if we would ask, we would seek, we would find. If we knock, the door would be open. And that's true. And it's God who provides those things. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12, Paul writes, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." This morning, I won't be passing out a pair of 4D glasses. But what I hope to do is to show you the simplicity of the four dimensions of God's love, of Christ's love. There is something very special about these dimensions: the width, the length, the depth, and the height. They're very special. And we need to understand those more than any person, any other people in the world. Christians should understand. Now, before I go any further, I want to invite you to come back tonight, because Caleb George is going to be speaking to us. And he's going to be talking about one of the ways, one of the most important ways that we can get this spiritual understanding through God's Word. And I'd encourage you to be here, because it's important. First of all, let's look at these dimensions. Width. Width. The love of Christ extends to all ages, to every age. It extends forward, and it extends back. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 8. In Hebrews chapter 10, he writes, "Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to you, come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." As far as time will go, and as far back as time goes, the width of the love of Christ covers sin. The love of Christ extends to all nations. Something that sometimes we forget about, being in what I think is the greatest country in the world. In the United States, we're proud, many of us are proud that we live in a country such as this, that we can still say one nation under God. But the love of Christ extends to all nations. In Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 44, we see here that really the disciples didn't understand it completely yet, but Jesus was teaching. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now let that sink in for just a minute. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Should be preached to all nations. We see the same thought in Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 36. Peter is preaching in the day of Pentecost. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as our Lord God will call. Extends to all nations. The love of Christ extends to all ranks of men. There is no one that's excluded from the love of Christ. The sacrifice that he made wasn't just for me. It was for all. The width, dimensionally, includes all people. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, he says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Greek, Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The width is very special. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 through 11 says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. The width of Christ extends through all ages, to all people, to everyone. Next we see the length. The length of the love of Christ. The love of Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. In Psalm 103 and verse 17, Psalm 103, in verse 17, he writes, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. To what length did Christ go? The love of Christ went to the greatest length. In John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus went to the greatest length. He gave his life. You gave his life for me. I appreciate the comments this morning before the Lord's Supper, because we're given the privilege every single week to remember. And in that remembrance, as I concentrate on Christ's love and what he did for me, I see him. Although I've never physically seen Christ, Through spiritual eyes, we see Christ on the cross. We see the suffering. We see the blood. We see the great length to which he went every single week. And I need that. We all need that. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, Romans 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus went to the greatest length. To a length that most people would never go. To a length that most people would never even consider. Jesus gave his life. The length of the love of Christ is special because the love of Christ knows no limitations. There are no limitations. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31. The writer says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is he who condemns. It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or disease, or shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword?" And the answer to all those questions is no. None of those things separate us from the love of Christ. "As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And what strength that would bring to us if we carried that with us all the time. The only thing that can conquer us is us. There's only one thing that can separate you from the love of Christ, and that's you. Nothing else in this world. That should be comforting. It should give us strength and courage to face whatever happens throughout our lives, every single day. The length is special. The depth of the love of Christ is special because the love of Christ stoops to the lowest condition to relieve and save those who are sunk in the depths of sin and guilt. How terrible it would be to continue to live day after day after day, knowing that I carried the guilt of the things that I've done in the past. Some of you might say, "Well, how bad could that be? You don't even know me." But I do, and God does, and thank God that he forgiven me. You know, the fact of the matter is, it wouldn't matter how terrible the things that I've done in the past were, because God will forgive. God will wipe the slate clean. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," and that includes me. Thank God that the depth of Christ's love reach down to take hold of me. The depth is special because the love of Christ took our sin, my sin, upon himself. Have you ever considered the fact that if you were the only person who's ever sinned, you're walking around the world and everybody else in the world was perfect, they were great, and you were the only one that had ever sinned, that it still would have taken Jesus' blood to wash your sin away. The fact of the matter is, it's irrelevant what anybody else has done. The only sin that's relevant to me is mine when I stand before God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." He took upon himself all the things that I've done. Not just the things that I've done, but all of us. All men. For all time. Can we even imagine how much Jesus loves us? The love of Christ shed his own blood. In Romans 3, turn back there, we'll read from verse 21. Romans 3 and verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." What a wonderful thought. What an awesome picture that the writer paints for us about God's love for you. The length of the love of Christ, the width and the depth, special. Sometimes we forget. This morning I'm here to remind you how important it is for us to remember how much Jesus loves us. Last of all, height. The height of Jesus' love is special because the love of Christ raises us up to walk in the newness of life. Raises us up from the sinful, demented, dirty beings that we were, to walk in newness, cleanness, purity, honesty. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, he writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. That's the picture of who we should be. I'd ask you this morning, if you really have put away the body of sin, is the body of sin dead? Or are you still dragging it around? Because the height that Jesus wants to raise you to, you can't be raised to that level carrying the body of sin. He raises us up to walk in newness, not to be what we were, to be what we can be in Christ. The height is special because the love of Christ will raise us, even the dead, in the last day. First Thessalonians chapter 4, and this should be very comforting to us. Because it's a picture of those who are alive and those who have passed on, who are faithful to God and Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. It's a picture for us to keep in our mind, to know that Jesus is coming back. And those who have died in Christ, we can take comfort in knowing that they'll be raised first. And we'll all go with him. The height of the love of Christ will raise all the faithful. To the home in heaven that he's prepared for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, Paul writes, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed we, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. I want you to answer this question to yourself. When was the last time that you groaned and wanted to go to heaven? When was the last time that you thought in your heart that heaven is going to be better than this? Or did you just think that there's something better here? I mean, that's possible. But looking around, where should we want to be? Where should we want to go? Paul, in several occasions, he writes, and he wants to go to heaven. He wants to be with God. He wants to be with Christ. He wants that heavenly home, that mansion that Jesus said that he's going to prepare. How short-sighted are we when we just think about next week or next year or 10 years from now? Oh, when I retire. Think about heaven and the height of Jesus' love that will take you there. Do you comprehend? If you understand that Jesus came to this world and he lived his life sinless and perfect, and he loved you so much that he gave his life and died on the cross willingly. Don't let anybody persuade you that someone took Jesus' life from him, because they didn't. Jesus gave his life. If you believe that with all your heart, if you're willing to stand up before this group of Christians and people and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as Jesus commanded in Matthew 10 and verse 32. And if you're willing to repent of your sins, that is to change, to leave the body of sin behind and walk in the newness of life and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can fully comprehend and understand and take advantage of the love of Christ. This morning, I hope that you understand that the love of Christ fulfills every dimensional need of mankind and you. Everything that you need, everything that you could be, is all wrapped up and defined by the love of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're subject to invitation, won't you come while we stand together and sing?